One morning, when Mrs. Brown was in the dining room, there was a knock at the front door. Mrs. Bird went to answer it and came back.
Harold Price to see you.
Harold Price wants to see me? But I don't know anyone called Harold Price, do I?
It's the young man from the big grocery store in the market. He said it had something to do with their amateur dramatic society.
Well, you'd better show him in then.
Right.
Now that Mrs. Bird mentioned it, she did vaguely remember Harold Price, but for the life of her, she couldn't think what that had to do with amateur dramatics.
Mr. Price!
Oh, I'm so sorry to trouble you, but I expect you know there's a drama festival taking place in the hall round the corner this week.
Oh, yes. You'd like us to buy some tickets. Now, where did I put
well,
my
no,
hand
not
by?
Exactly. You see, we've entered a play for the last night. That's tomorrow. And we've been let down at the last moment by the man who was going to do the sound effects. I was told you have a young Mr. Brown who's very keen on that sort of thing, but I'm afraid I've forgotten his Christian name.
Jonathan?
No, it wasn't Jonathan. It was a funny sort of a name.
Not Paddington.
That's it. Paddington. I knew it was something unusual. I wrote this play myself. It's a sort of mystery pantomime, and we're hoping it may win a prize. The sound effects are most important, and we must have someone reliable tomorrow night.
Have you ever met Paddington?
Well, no, but I'm sure he could do them, and if he'll come, I'll let you all have seats in the front row.
Well, that's most kind of you. I don't know what to say. Paddington does make rather a noise sometimes when he's doing things, but I don't know that you'd exactly call them sound effects.
Oh, please. There just isn't anyone else we can ask.
Well, I'll ask him if you like.
Oh, thank you.
But Mr. Price was somewhat taken aback when Mrs. Brown returned, closely followed by Paddington.
Oh, I didn't realise you were... I expected somebody much older.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Price. I'm nearly four. A pair's years are different.
Oh, yes, I'm quite sure they are.
How do you do? I'm sorry. I seem to have marmalade stains on my paw.
Oh, yes. You're sure you hadn't anything else planned?
Oh, no. Besides, I like theatres and I'm good at learning lines.
Well, they're not exactly lines, Paddington. They're noises.
Noises? I've never heard of a noises play before.
Well, perhaps we could use you in the crowd scenes. We're a bit short of serfs.
Serfs?
All you have to do is come on and say odds bodikins every now and then.
Odds bodikins?
Yes, and if you do it well, I might even let you say gadzooks and scurvy knave as well.
Perhaps you'd both like to go into it all down at the hall.
A very good idea. We're just about to start a rehearsal, and I can explain it as we're going.
Well, if Paddington has a paw in it, there'll be plenty of pantomime. You mark my words.
Here we are, Mr. Paddington Brown. Ooh. Through this door marked Artistes Only.
Thank you.
Paddington blinked in the strong lights at the back of the stage. There was a nice smell of grease paint, but before he had time to think, he found himself standing in front of a tall, dark girl who was stretched out on a couch.
Deirdre, I'd like you to meet the young Mr. Brown I was telling you about. He's promised to lend a paw with the sound effects.
You didn't tell me he was a bear, Harold.
Well, I didn't know myself, actually. This is Miss Flint, my leading lady. She's in Bacon and Eggs.
How do you do, Miss Flint? How nice. I should like to be in Bacon and Eggs myself.
Ooh, you look rather as if you have been. Well, I suppose the show must go on, Harold, but really...
This way, across the stage. I'll just show you what you have to do. Now, this table in the wings is where you'll be.
I see.
And, look, I've marked all the places in this script where there are any sound effects. Oh, yes. All you have to do is bang those coconut shells together whenever it says horse's hooves, and there's the gramophone here for when we have music or thunder noises.
Oh, it looks a bit difficult, especially with paws. But I expect it'll be all right.
Oh, I do hope so. We've never had a bear doing the sound effects before.
By the time the following evening came round, the Brown household was in a high state of excitement as they got ready for their outing. Mr. Price had been as good as his word, and he'd given Paddington tickets for all the family. Paddington was waiting to greet them when they arrived, just before the start of the performance. He was wearing a large rosette marked Official in his hat, and he looked most important as he led the way down the crowded aisle to some seats in the front row of the stalls, before disappearing through a small door in the side of the stage.
Row A? This is where we are.
Can I sit at the end, Dad? Oh, I wanted to sit there. That's very odd. Thunder at this time of the year. It was just starting to snow when we came in.
I expect that was Paddington testing his sound effects. He said he had quite a few thunderclaps to do.
And I wish he'd turn the volume down a bit. That ceiling doesn't look too safe to me.
Shh! The curtain's going up.
It looks very dark. Someone must have forgotten to pay the electric light bill.
Mr. Price's play was called The Mystery of Father Christmas and the Disappearing Plans. And all the action took place one night in the hall of a deserted castle somewhere in Europe. Several times Father Christmas came through a secret panel in the wall, holding a lighted candle. And each time he disappeared, he was followed by Mr. Price, playing the part of a mysterious butler. Sometimes he came on waving the secret plans triumphantly. And at other times, he looked quite sinister as he shook an empty fist at the audience to the accompaniment of a roll of thunder. Behind the scenes, Paddington was kept very busy. Apart from the thunder, there were the coconut shells to be banged together whenever anyone approached the castle. Not to mention clanking drawbridge noises and the creaking sounds every time a door was opened. In fact, there was so much to do, it took him all his time to follow the script, and he was quite surprised when he looked up suddenly and found it was the interval.
Oh, very good work, Mr. Brown. I couldn't have done it better myself. You haven't missed a single cue. Oh,
thank you very much.
Paddington wasn't sorry to sit down for a while and rest his paws. In any case, the serfs had to put in several appearances during the second act, and he was anxious to practice his lines while he had the chance. It was some minutes before he had settled himself underneath the table with the script and a jar of marmalade that he noticed an unusual amount of noise going on at the back of the stage. It seemed to have something to do with Harold Price having mislaid his secret plans. Several times his voice rose above the others, saying he couldn't go on without them because a lot of his most important lines were written on the back. Paddington scrambled out hurriedly in order to investigate the matter, but by the time he stood up, everything had gone quiet again as the curtain went up for the second act. Father Christmas made his entrance and approached Miss Flint's couch in the centre of the stage. But from the little of him that could be seen behind his beard, he looked most unhappy.
I had hoped to bring thee glad tidings, but alas, I am undone, for I have lost my secret plans.
What? What have you done with them?
I don't know. I think I must have put them down somewhere.
Hast thou read any good books lately?
Books?
From his position at the side of the stage, Paddington looked even more surprised than Miss Flint. He felt sure no mention had been made before of any character called Tidings. He consulted his script several times in case he'd made a mistake, but the more he looked at it, the more confused he became. As he turned round to the table, he received yet another surprise, for there, lying in front of him, was a dog-eared pile of papers marked Secret Plans, Property of Harold Price. Meanwhile, Father Christmas and Miss Flint appeared to have run out of conversation. Paddington picked up the plans and hurried on to the stage with a determined expression. After raising his hat several times to the audience, he waved in the direction of the Browns and then turned towards the couch.
Odds bodikins, I've come to help you out, Master Christmas.
You've what?
I've found your secret plans. Oh, thank you. Scurvy knave, gadzooks.
You left them under my coconuts.
I left them where?
Here, you take the plans, and I'll hold the candle.
Under my coconuts.
Oh, yeah.
I think you must have put them there in the interval.
Oh. Fancy leaving your plans under a bear's coconuts. A fine spy you are.
Can you smell something burning?
Good heavens! Here, give me that candle.
Oh, what's the matter?
It's his beard. Oh. It's on fire.
All right, don't worry. I must have held the candle too close.
Paddington took hold of the beard and gave it a tug.
Well, I'm blown.
Fancy that.
It was the butler all the time, disguised as Father Christmas.
What a clever idea, having him unmasked by a bear.
My play, my masterpiece, ruined by a bear.
Nonsense, it wasn't his fault. If you hadn't lost your plans in the first place, all this would never have happened. Anyway, the audience seemed to like it. Just listen to them.
Order!
Mr. Price sat up. Now that Miss Flint had mentioned it, there did seem to be a lot of applause from the other side of the curtain. Shortly afterwards, the judge of the play festival joined them on the stage and spoke to the audience.
I feel we must congratulate Harold Price on his pantomime. It was undoubtedly the funniest play of the week.
The funniest? But it wasn't meant to be funny.
Yeah, not only was it the funniest, but it had the most unusual ending I've seen for many a day. Surf Bear. Yes, he played his part magnificently, although his name doesn't appear on the programme. Remarkable timing. The way he set fire to your beard. Oh, yes, one false move with his paw, the whole lot might have gone up in flames. I have no hesitation in awarding the prize for the best play of the festival to Mr. Harold Price.
Oh!
It's very kind of you all.
I'm most grateful. But I think I ought to mention that although I wrote the play, young Mr. Brown here had quite a large paw in the way it ended.
Oh, I say.
And I wouldn't like to think he'd gone unrecognised.
Later that evening, the Brown family made their way home through the snow.
How nice of Mr. Price to give Paddington some of the credit. I wonder what he meant when he said Paddington had a paw in the ending.
Knowing Paddington's paws, I shudder to think.
They looked back at Paddington, but his head was buried too deep in his duffel coat, and he was much too busy picking his way in and out of the footprints to hear what was being said. He was anxious to get home as quickly as possible so that he could hang up his stocking. After watching Mr. Price's play, Paddington didn't want to take any chances, particularly over such an important matter as Father Christmas.